Well, good morning and welcome. I'm going to continue our service today. And last week I didn't have the opportunity to talk a little bit about not just Bogota, but just some of the principles I thought would be helpful for us. So I will do that in a moment or two. But first of all, we've just had a great sanctification week. And our little administrative centre was overflowing on more than one occasion, and it was just great to see so many people piling into that room during the week. And for me and for a number of others, there was just that real sense that not in a big, necessarily dramatic way, but just the sense of the peace, the love, the grace, a refreshing from the Lord as we gathered. And I was just thinking it was such a great opportunity for us just to have come and met together like that. And I've got to say that, we just turned the television off for the week and we did this and we did that. And, at the end of the week, I'm pleased we did. Sometimes you think, oh, I wish I could just turn it on. But I'm just pleased that we made that effort. And I know a number of others did as well, And there's a benefit in it because it just helps us have our minds and our hearts a little bit more focused on the things of God. So that was good. Matt really spoke at the last session yesterday, and he closed the session, and the notes were along the lines of be thankful and sing. And we have so much to be thankful for. We really should be the happiest people on earth, the Church of Jesus Christ. There is so much to be grateful for, and it's not like all of our lives are hunky-dory, all of our lives just going swimmingly and smoothly. But above all of that, we're saved. Above all of that, we're chosen. Above all of that, he loves us and he's called us. And it's just brilliant as Christians. We have such treasure here that we can forget how special this treasure is if we don't give thought to it sometimes. But it's a treasure to give away too. It's a treasure which the Lord doesn't want us to keep for ourselves. And I just wanted to give you the opportunity before I actually just talk about some of the things I was going to talk about. That those of us which gathered yesterday, we made a confession which came out of the notes about we are the people of God. And Claire, if you wouldn't mind just sticking that up on the screen, and in a moment we'll just repeat this again together, because I want us to hold our heads up high. That's where God has placed us, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. We should be a proud people in the right sense of the word. We're special. We've got a special message. We've got a special God who made all the other gods. He's high above everything and everybody else. And I wonder, can we just stand together? And I would just like us, with faith and with a confidence in our hearts, just to speak out these words again and be thankful and sing. Let that music, let that joy well up in your heart. It was great worship again today. Thank you, Matt, just for leading us and the guys in the band. Thank you so much. But it's a heart thing. It's not just words. It's not just out there. It's something that needs to come from our hearts. So let's just speak this out together, shall we? We are the people of God. We have been saved and bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Our sins have been forgiven. Our home is in heaven. The enemy has been defeated. Jesus has conquered. His kingdom has come. And it will go on increasing forever and ever. We are part of his church, his bride, his family. He has given us his spirit and planned good works for us to partake in. We have hope. We have a future. Darkness may cover the earth, but the Lord has risen upon us. We are a city on a hill, a light shining in darkness. We are thankful and we will sing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Take your seats, please. Well, we ran out of time last week, and maybe if we didn't have Andy leading this week, we could have been in danger of doing it again. There just seemed to be so much that we have wanted just to bring into our service in the last couple of weeks. But I just want to quickly run through some stuff which came out of the Bogota conference. So if we could just have some pictures, I think next. It was called Reaching Your Generations. And that's such a challenge for us all. And what I liked about that, you know, God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Young people, we need to be reaching young people. Middle-aged people, we need to be reaching middle-aged people. Older people, we need to be reaching older people. We have been called to reach our generations with the gospel of Jesus. Thank you, Claire. And again. Okay, worship really is at the heart of everything which happens in Bogota. And that's just the stage there, so massive, great big stage. But every time we come together, there's just such a hunger, such a love for God and a passion for God. Creativity and art are just so much part of what they do. In that, and it's a big church, so they've got lots of very clever, equipped, professional people. Drama, dance... it's just holistic. You know, there's fun, there's just a joy in it. It's not just like session after session, as it sometimes is in our conferences over here. But there was a fun aspect to the whole thing. And I mean, some of the stuff which they were just doing was, it was just so clever. And this stuff here with the girl coming down from the ceiling, it was just a demonstration, it was a dance thing illustrating the whole story of Christianity. You know, from Jesus coming and dying to the early persecution of the Romans. And it went on probably for half an hour. Absolutely brilliantly done. And there... Oh, sorry, Claire, just go back, please. And there in the centre there, I will give it all to you, is the heart of the church. It is just so focused on Jesus. And the worship is so much, Lord, it's about you, Holy Spirit, we need you. Every song almost, it's just a fresh welcome for the Holy Spirit to come. It's all about Jesus. And I thought that little, with those words up there just summed up what it was all about. Okay, Claire, next please. This is, oh, that's my wife. I was going to say it's a new building, but that's my wife. This is their new building. Which is, they purchased 2 or 3 years ago, and the next one just shows the people in there. 14,000 people in this building. Now, the globe's pretty big, and that's 800 to 1,000 people if that's full. So imagine 14 times the size of that. And they have church there 6 times a weekend. It's just enormous. I mean, I don't know what our health and safety people would make of it all, really. There does seem to be not so many fire exits and signs as you would expect there to be over here. It's just an incredible state-of-the-art conference facility which they have developed and are developing. Thank you. Next one, please. We always end up with a celebration in the open air. This was actually smaller than usual. They had this on the Saturday morning. It used to be a miracle catch time. I mean, there were a number of people which responded to the Lord. And I think maybe health and safety has kicked in a little bit. And because of the incredible numbers there, they're just a lot more careful on that. But on this occasion, probably 30, 40,000. Normally it's 100,000. But they held it in the morning because one of the pastor's family was getting married in the afternoon. And a lot more people were at work. But it's just... an enormous church. I just wanted to show those pictures. I think, yeah, we prayed for Pastor Caesar last week, so we can pray for him again. but I touched on that last week. Okay, thank you, Claire.
That's great. Just an amazing church and a real honour and privilege to be part of it. I wanted to share today, when we had the conference in Windsor, the first thing the first pastor spoke, he says, "We've not come here to learn, we've come here to change." And that just really challenged me. I thought, how many of us think, well, we're coming to learn? And, we've got so much learning. We're doing learning all the time. Now, of course, we need to learn, but we've come to change. And that's either words in our mind, words in our heart, which are going to change the way we think and the things we do. And I just want to share some principles which came out of the conference, not just to inform you and communicate to you some of the good things which they said. I want to share these things from the point of view of, Lord, help us to change too. So the first thing, if we could have it, Claire, please. First session, called to ministry, called to holiness, called to fellowship with Jesus Christ. What an incredible privilege. That's us. Each one of us has been called to ministry. Now, don't get too tied up on what ministry, you're a worship leader and that. We're called to ministry in whatever expression that might be. We've been called to holiness, to be set apart, to live for Him, to dedicate and devote our lives to Him. We've been called to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, I just loved that. I thought, wow, that's absolutely amazing. Thank you, Lord. What a high calling. But the main emphasis of this talk was what follows there. And it was along the lines, we have not been called to something easily achieved. In fact, what God has called us to is like impossible in our own strength. But we advance and we conquer on our knees. And prayer is so essential if we are going to be successful at what the Lord has called us to do. No prayer, no ongoing advance. But with prayer, I believe we will make a difference. And this year, one of the challenges which we want to bring is we're asking God to help develop a culture of prayer here at LifeSpring. We need to develop a culture of prayer. Ephesians 6 tells us this. Paul, he's just talked about the armour of God. Talk about the armour of God. He says this, finally, at the end of his letter, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are called and caught up in a spiritual battle. And he goes on at the end, he describes the armour of God, and he just ends there, verse 18, and after he's described all these different aspects, he says, and pray in the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and with requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints, and pray also for me. And in the next book, Paul says this to the Philippian church, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. We didn't need to be told it. It's not something I need to learn. But there's something we need to respond to as a church. That we begin to develop a culture of prayer for everything, for us all, for everyone. And we begin to see that walk with God, that prayer developing in the church. Some of you may have heard of a church in Peterborough. I can't remember what it's called now. It used to be Peterborough Community Church, but they've changed their name. And I just wanted to read a little slip from a leaflet which they produced. And he says this, I strongly believe that if we want to be truly fruitful in evangelism, this church has grown from a house group to, well, it was 1,300 a couple of years ago. It's 2,000 now, which over here is quite big. I strongly believe that if we want to be truly fruitful in evangelism, we must be very fervent in prayer and intercession. Mission doesn't start out there, but starts with us connecting to God. You see, when we talk about prayer, you just think immediately, maybe, of coming to a prayer meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, that has its place, and that is maybe something we need to do more regularly. But actually, prayer starts with you and God, in your own home, in your own place. And we're developing that relationship with God. He goes on to say here, one of the things we did was to build a prayer base into the heart of the church because we wanted new wine to flow into the wineskin. We want the power and the presence of God flowing in the midst of his people. And he goes on to describe the different sorts of things which they've done. And then he says, without a strong prayer base, you will advance one step and get knocked back two. When you've got a strong prayer base, you can keep advancing. And there's more to read. I won't read it now. But I just wanted to say, church, as a team, we feel this is an area we need to develop in the church. And when I heard this pastor speaking, a pastor of thousands, you know, it wasn't like he was just a little church in a little school hall. He was saying, we've not been called to something easily achieved. You know, there's multitudes to reach, there's mountains to conquer, but we advance and we conquer on our knees. And I want to encourage us as a church. I believe that's where the source and the power is for us too, as we connect with the Lord and his life flows through us through prayer and intimacy with God. Next one, please. Pastor Caesar. We know the story. Building on sand or building on the rocks. I will build my church, Jesus said, and he focused on 12. I'm not going to go through the G12 thing. Many are impressed with the multitudes, but unformed multitudes are like the sand. Rocks, however, stand firm. I found this really challenging. You know, some of you will think G12 equals multitudes. All they talk about is numbers and multitudes. Well, actually, that is the outcome of finding 12 and of discipling and of investing in a few the way that Jesus did. And I was just challenged by this when he said, you know, multitudes are like the sand. And unless... And that was Jesus' experience, you see. There were multitudes that followed Jesus at different times. But at the end of the day, he had 12. And when he left, there were 120 in the house on the day of Pentecost. Multitudes are fickle. They were worshipping and praising Jesus on Palm Sunday. By Good Friday, they turned against him. And I think Pastor Caesar has a point here when he says unformed multitudes are like sand. But disciples are built on rocks. And that needs to be our challenge and our focus, that we can be built strong. And you'll know the story, but I don't need to read it to you, from Matthew 6, two houses, one built on the sand, the wind and the storms came, and the whole house collapsed. One built on the rock, the wind and the storms came, and the house remained. The thing that happened with both houses was wind and storms. And it's not like if you're built on a rock, everything's going to be sorted. There's still going to be wind and storms. But the difference is, if we're built on the rock of Jesus and his words, and we're looking to be obedient to him and to follow him, when they come, we'll stand. But if we don't, it'll collapse. Unformed multitudes are like the sand. Building on sand, moments of glory that don't last. I found it really really interesting that Pastor Caesar was talking like this. You know, a church of 100 or so thousand, 200,000 or whatever it is. And yet the focus at their church there would be to build everybody on rock, that they might be solid and strong and go from there. Next one, please, Claire. Reaching your generation. We must not lose our first love. We must keep the flame alight. Our passion needs to be ignited if we are to reach our generations. That's a challenge for us all, isn't it? Romans 12 says this. Romans 12 says, love, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. It's a challenge to keep that spiritual zeal and that passion and that fire alight, isn't it? But if we are going to reach our generations, if we are going to make a difference in this town, we need to find that passion and that fire again, that first love. Do you remember what Jesus said to the church in Ephesus? You've lost your first love. You know, you're doing all the stuff, you're doing all the works, but what you really need to do is come back to that first love again. And if you don't come back to that first love, then the lampstand will be removed and people have different views what that lampstand might be. But I want to say to us, Life Spring, and I think for me, the Sanctification Week has helped, and maybe for others too, we need to ignite again that flame and that passion for the Lord and for his purposes. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's why he's called us, that his light might shine through us. Jesus says, you know, if your salt has lost its taste, it's only, you might as well chuck it away. It's not going to do any good at all. So basically, keep salty. And I think the way we do that is we connect with the Lord, and we develop and we continue and we maintain as best as we can that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. But together, we can also build each other up, encourage each other to keep that fire alight, to pray for each other, you know, so that together we can be a bright fire for the glory of God. Amen. You see, we're never going to reach this generation half-hearted. There needs to be a passion in our hearts. Thank you, Andrew. Andrew agrees with me. God's the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. He is the God of generations. I want us to pray for this at the end, give that opportunity. I just feel we need to catch something afresh of that heart and that passion which comes from the Lord again. Okay, I think we might have one more. Okay, this is really to close. Four things then, four challenges if we are to reach our generation. Oh, by the way, let me just come back to that multitude thing, for example. I heard a guy called John Hagee. He's on the God Channel, big guy, American from Texas somewhere. Big church, 25,000, I think, in his church. And he's pretty direct and straight. And actually, he was speaking at Bogota, but he talked about something else. This was before I went out to Bogota. And I heard him say, along the lines of, you know, if there are, I don't know how many people there are in America, but I think he said 160 million going to church. He said, if there are 160 million people going to church in America, if that 160 million, which is multitudes, really were disciples, he didn't put it like that, he said doing what God did, called them to do, America would be totally different. And he went on to say, it's not what you believe, it's what you do. And that is so true. We can believe all the stuff I'm talking about here, but it's only in doing it that we're going to make a difference. And I remember seeing 10 years ago on television the student riots in Korea and all sorts of chaos and riots, and you hear about it in different places in Africa, South Africa, and different places. And I thought, well, these people are like 25% Christian, they're 30% Christian. I would have thought Christians would, you know, they're filling stadiums. You see, it's just multitudes. But if it was Christians really living the Word of God and doing the Word of God, I really think nations will change. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
You know, a stadium full of people that say they believe in God but don't do it won't have much of a difference. But a stadium's full of people which are being discipled and following and are being obedient and really taking seriously the word of God, they're going to change nations. And that's my vision. I want to be part of a church which changes cities, and nations. So it's not numbers. It is, but it's quality. It's disciples built on the word of God. And I think that's what John Hagee was saying the other day. So number one, we must pray. Oh, here it comes. We must develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not an optional extra. Everything flows out of that relationship with him. We need to be connected to the vine. And Jesus says, if you're not, you're not going to bear fruit. But if you are, you will. His life, his power, his promises, his hope. You see, intimacy produces fruitfulness. Intimacy produces the fruit. It's the same in the natural. It's the same in the spiritual. And one of the pastors got up and he said, you know what? The things that most pastors, to him, have been challenged about after attending one of these conferences isn't the multitudes, isn't finding 12, isn't this, isn't that. It's their own devotional life. And I've got to say, every time I go to one of these places, I come back with the same challenge. Oh dear, I've let things slip a bit. It's developing. It's bringing disciplines into our lives so that we can develop and maintain that relationship with the Holy Spirit and pray. Number two, we need his presence. We must bring the presence of God into our home and ministry. It's his presence which needs to pervade our lives, our homes. And we take that aroma of Christ. We take him out with us to the workplace, to schools, into the community. You see, in ourselves we can do nothing, but we have the hope of glory in us, the presence of Jesus. It needs to be passionate. It needs to be alive. It needs to be a light. That people are going to come and touch us and see some difference here. The values are different. The language is different. The heart is different. The attitudes are different. The motives are different. Because we're taking the presence of Jesus everywhere we go. And I really would like to see our homes touched afresh as well. So, and I was thinking about this. So unsaved spouses make a difference because they carry the presence of God into their home. So the children with unsaved parents are making a difference because they're carrying something of that fragrance, that aroma of Christ into their home. It's the Holy Spirit and it's the only way. He needs to come. We need to be maybe more aware of him and intentionally invite him in that he might make a difference. So we take him wherever we go. We really, really need him. I think one of the verses in the Bible which challenges me most is it says in the last days there'll be people who do it, but how's it go? It's in Timothy. It's basically going through the motions, but the power of God, the presence of God is devoid. Do you remember the verse? Sorry? A form of godliness, but denying its power. I think that's one of my fears. Turn up here every week, put the chairs out, come and sit on them, and God's not in the place. You know, we sing a few songs, we go, I thought, oh, my Lord, you know, that would be awful. Ourselves, if they were like that, if they are like that, it must be awful. We need to take the presence of God and bring the presence of God and expect the presence of God to be tangible and real, particularly when we come together like this, but also in ourselves, but why not in our homes and our workplaces too? Number three, we must give away, we must transmit to others what we have learnt. This is such an important thing. If we're going to reach generations, we've got to pass on what God has given to us. Otherwise, we become stagnant. Cell leaders, you need to be intentional about transmitting what God has taught you. Parents, we need to be intentional about sharing with our children the things of God. I'm just rereading through the Bible again. I'm in Exodus, and you know they've just come out of Egypt. And God said to Moses, tell them this Passover thing, it's so important. Your dad was delivered from Egypt, and that's why we're doing this. And we're going to be doing it every year, because your dad was delivered from Egypt, and we came out of Egypt. And it's like telling them for generations to come, this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we worship. He delivered 3 million people, you know, and he's our God now. And it talks about he's the God of our fathers. And I thought, oh, interesting saying. You know, and my God is the God of my dad and my mum. And James's God is the God of his dad. And there's been a, praise God, there's a generational thing. And we need to learn, we need to teach, we need to transmit so that people know we give away all the good things God gave to us. It's discipleship. Do you know what? Jesus spent 70% of his time with 12 because he was investing into them, that they might invest into others. Now, with all of those needs round about him and with such a short period of time, 3.5 years, you'd have thought he might have had a better breakdown than that. You know, 30% with the 12 and 70% to meet all the blind and the crippled and the helping and the helpless. But no, he chose those who were able to respond, and he wanted to invest into them so they could invest into others. And we need to give away what we've received, and we need to be intentional about it. In fact, one of the criticisms I would have of myself if I wasn't careful is that I can go to places, conferences like this, and it's just wonderful, but unless I'm giving it away, what good is it going to do to anybody? And I need to be looking, and I've got some people to give it away to, but we need to be looking who to give it away to that we might make a difference out there in Reading. Are we okay, everybody? And lastly, number four, we must concentrate and focus on the call of God. We need to focus on his call for our lives. So many distractions. I think Matt said it yesterday. Somebody said it, you know, maybe, I can't remember, it might have been Matt. You know, the dream that God's given us, but it's his dream that we're after. You know, our dreams come under his dream. And we need to catch his dream and focus on that and his call on our lives so that we can bring it about. Jesus had so many distractions while he was walking on this earth. Some of them wanted to make him king. Some of them wanted to him just to preach and talk to all these multitudes. You know, they could have taken his time in so many different ways. And yet Jesus just steered his way through so that at the end of 3.5 years, he could say, on the cross, it's finished. I've done what I came to do. He completed the task that God had given him. And if we are going to be effective as well, we need to be focused on what God's called us to do. It's our obedience. It's us building on the rock and not the sand. And then when we are welcomed into the doors of eternity, our works won't be burnt up as wood, hay and stubble, as Paul says. Yeah, that might be our own personal dreams. But when we come through to that place of judgment, we're going to receive a crown. This is going to be gold and silver and precious stones because we've actually accomplished what he called us to do. And in order to do that, we need to focus and concentrate on the call of God for our lives. And it could be youth, it could be politics, it could be business, it could be cell leading, it could be worship leading, it might be sometimes stick all that lot together, it could be all sorts of things. We just need to know what God's dream, God's heart, God's call for us is, and then give ourselves to focus on that in order that we might fulfill that to the glory of God. So Matt, would you mind just giving me some music again? Can we just stand together? Just as I close here, just I want to give opportunity for anybody that feels they'd like to respond. But I feel there's a real challenge about committing to pray. I remember Tamrat saying, "Prayer is hard work." Tamrat, you're doing it all the time. You're doing it for hours a day. But even Tamrat says prayer is hard work, and I'm thinking, yeah, it is hard work, and that's why most of us back off. But we need to commit to pray. Be devoted to prayer. We're encouraged in the New Testament. Let's be aware of his presence. Let's look to draw his presence, take his presence intentionally wherever we go. Let's, in our lives, there are certain things where the Holy Spirit will decide, well, I'm not comfortable in this place, and he will disappear. Let's not go to those places. Let's just go to places where we can take him with us wherever we go.
Let's be prepared to be discipled and disciple others so that we can give away what God's given us. And let's choose to be obedient to the call of God on our lives. And let's be very intentional about fulfilling it and making sure we don't get diverted. And all of that just needs to flow out of our walk with the Lord, that relationship with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what song we're ending up with here, but as this song is sung, I just want to invite you, if you feel it's appropriate for you to say, Lord, that fire has gone down, that it's burning cooler than it needs to burn, that flame isn't as bright as it should be, then we will have a prayer time, but I just want you to come and say, Lord, I need you to come. I need you to come. I need you to fill me, to touch me. I surrender afresh to you that I might receive all that you have for me to be the person of God that you've called me to be. If that's appropriate for you, then you just take the opportunity to come to the front and allow the Lord to minister to you, and we'll also pray as well.
Into your hands I commit again all I am for you, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of your hands, and I am yours forever. I believe in you, Jesus. I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I see with all I am. With you wherever you go, through tears and joy, I'll trust in you, and I will live in all your ways and your promises forever. I believe in you, but Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I see with all I am. Into your hands. Commit again all I am for you, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of your hand, and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe. Live You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am.
So if anybody feels they'd like some prayer, please come to the front here. If anybody's sick, needs to pray for healing, please come forward. We'd like to pray for you. You receive healing. And we're just going to play on a little bit longer up here. Maybe not very loud, so that we can just receive from the Lord, if that's what you've come for. It's intimacy with the Holy Spirit, which is the key. Just a practical notice, need to say thank you. We've received half the money we need for the holiday, so another offering to come. Maybe we'll get all the way in a month's time. My and Jackie's sales, we're meeting in the Resource Centre this evening, joint meeting up there. And Lord, I just want to pray now for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your hand on our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you've promised if we remain in you, we will be fruitful. Lord, I want to ask that each one of us will know how to make that connection, that your life will flow, the intimacy with the Holy Spirit, that the prayer will become a culture that we enjoy and we experience here at LifeSpring, that we might make you known to this town and beyond. So bless each one of us, Lord, as we go from here. We ask. We receive your blessing. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're the real.